Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith, and we are continuing our Man Crush Monday. What that is all about is the players that Dusty and I have a little extra rooting interest on with the Penn State football team. We spent the last two segments, Dustin, talking about current players. Now is the time we're going to go back into the history books. We're going to look back at those players that we had the man crush on during the James Franklin era, maybe during the era that we've been doing this show. And there's been plenty of those players. We've had some hits. We've had some misses. I'm going to let you go first.
Just historic man crushes, just looking back. And I mentioned this before. I'm happy to take my medicine if I really swung wildly on a guy and missed. I think the closest thing that I saw to that has been Sean Clifford. And the other name that I would mention, and both of them are in, you know, my list of guys for this particular context, is Justin Shorter. I could not fathom how a guy who looked like that, ran like that, seemed to have really advanced technique at a young age. I just could not fathom the idea of that not working out immediately. But it did not work out at Penn State. He went to Florida, had some moments there last year, but has, you know, still is well short of what I would expect it from him. Sean Clifford, you know, we have covered this a bunch of times, but just all the things that we had seen from him and his personality and the way that he competed, you know, at St. Xavier in Ohio, his maturity, his leadership, it all pointed to me like he was going to be a really good one. And there's still, time isn't up on him yet. Let's just put it that way. We would want to make the comparison to Joe Burrow. We make that like jokingly all the time. If time would have run out at this stage of Joe Burrow's career, he would have never did what he did either. So once again, I am stating just officially, Sean Clifford is following the Joe Burrow track in his career.
There's still a chance.
Still a chance.
I'm going to go over a couple of players that will probably be rated as misses on my part. And I'm going to go two receiver, one a wide receiver, one a tight end, and that is Saeed Blacknall. And this is a guy, I'm not sure I could identify why I was so high on him, but I was. I'm sure he made a catch or two that just blew me away. And even that, you, if you go back and the Big Ten, when they'll play that Penn State-Wisconsin Big Ten championship game, I still say to myself, there it is. That's why Saeed Blacknall is that guy. And the tight end from years ago, I don't know if you even remember Kyle Carter.
Yeah.
And I can remember him making a catch where I can't remember who was the quarterback at the time, threw the ball up for grabs, and I thought, oh, what a bad pass. He's well covered. Kyle Carter went up and over the defender and brought it in, and I just said, my goodness, a tight end making a play like that, so athletic, that's the guy. Well, in hindsight, maybe he wasn't the guy.
It's so funny that you're like, and both of these guys played in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, I know where you're coming from, and they're it's apples and oranges, but it's just funny to me that these guys who have had some run in the league are like, they should have been more. But I think with Blacknall, I mean, he highlights kind of like all the inaccuracies in the recruiting and developing and scouting realm. He had everything you wanted physically, but you can't ever really predict whether that's attention to detail, consistency, that kind of stuff. Technique wise, how much they will or won't develop when it comes to technique. So he was a highlight of that. He just never was consistent with it. And you know, physically, that's why he got a shot in the NFL. Kyle Carter, his redshirt freshman season was such a promising season for him. And I think, you know, he had kind of body control and hands of a wide receiver, but with that tight end body, it just didn't develop further than that. Again, he still played in the league, so we'll give him that. What I mean, I don't think you can really the man crush thing. Saquon, you have to talk about him in this regard. And I remember, obviously, the running joke on this show for 6 or 7 years has been Andy and I, you know, doing a segment called "Agree to Disagree." Or I don't know if that was a segment or not. I think it was. We were looking at the two running backs in the 2015 recruiting class, Saquon Barkley, Andre Robinson. We both took a side. I was on Barkley's side. He was on Andre Robinson's side. We have beaten this horse dead several times over at this point. But
why should that stop us?
It's never going to stop me. If we're doing this show in 40 years, I'm going to still look back and hey, you know, remember 50 years ago? I'm still going to keep beating it then. But Saquon's high school film. Nobody could have predicted what happened with him. And part of that, again, the recruiting process, you can't take a temperature on a kid's hunger, work, how much they're going to play ball in the strength and conditioning program. All these were factors for Saquon. But to this day, honest to goodness, I don't know that I've seen a Penn State recruit. And I've watched all their film. I don't think I've seen a Penn State recruit who had more spectacular game footage than Saquon Barkley did. And you can look at it and say, you know, I wasn't positive how that was going to translate to the next level. I had questions about that, especially when he's 190 pounds. You didn't know he was going to be 225, 230 within a couple years. But the in terms of jaw-dropping film, nobody had what Saquon had. And I really believe, you know, even since him, I haven't seen anybody quite like that. And that has been, you know, in addition to the gigantic quads and all the everything else, that jaw-dropping ability, that edge of your seat kind of thing, that was Saquon's career. I couldn't have predicted that, but that's what his film said.
Well, why don't you take credit for it anyway, Dusty?
I'm a pro at that. I am a pro at that part of it. Absolutely.
The whole Saquon versus Andre Robinson debate is an interesting one too, because it really highlights what turns us into a fanboy or a man crush on these players, and it's that early exposure to the player and seeing something in them. We're talking, and we will pick on Andrew Pesce forever about that debate, but Andy saw so much of Andre Robinson in high school. He was very familiar with him in the Harrisburg area at the high school level, where Andy does watch a lot of high school football live, and he saw Andre Robinson a lot. That is what made him such an Andre Robinson fan. Meanwhile, I did not see either of these players live in high school, but like you, I did see Saquon Barkley. I believe it may have been a playoff game from his high school, and here was this Penn State recruit, and they were televising this game, and I saw him, and I was like you. I just went, wow, you know, that looks pretty special. Now, I didn't know enough about what is the competition like, what is that kind of standard, but I just saw something, you know, there, like you said, highlights that made me say, wow, this guy's special. So I was on the Saquon bandwagon pretty early, but again, I could identify why. I saw him. I never saw Andre Robinson in high school play. I'm going to give you another name, and in hindsight, it looks kind of obvious, but I'm going to bring up Trace McSorley. And I like the idea that he was such a winner in high school. He was undersized, but I think that makes him a little easier to root for. And I know I've told this story before on the air. I believe Trace was a 3-star recruit, and we were pretty early on in this show. And I believe it was off the air. I asked Ross, okay, he's a 3-star. He's not a 4-star. Why isn't he a 4-star? What's the difference? And Dustin, he held up his thumb and index finger and held them a couple inches apart and said, that's the difference. And he was alluding to Trace McSorley's height. If he was merely a couple inches taller, he would have been looked at very differently going into college, and perhaps even looked at differently going into the NFL. And he has proven that being a little bit shorter wasn't going to hold him back, but it also made him, in my mind, very easy to root for when he came to Penn State.
Yeah, and you think about 2 to 3 inches was might have been the difference between Penn State getting him, him following James Franklin to Penn State, and not. His offer sheet would have been a lot different. Penn State wouldn't have been, and Vanderbilt at the time, wouldn't have been the only programs offering him as a quarterback. There would have been some legitimate competition there. So it's funny how slim the margins can be from game-changing player arriving at your program versus not. I didn't have a strong opinion about Trace early on. I just didn't know. I saw the credentials. You know, you see the athlete. You know that the dual threat thing exists there. He was arriving at Penn State in 2014, which is before the game really changed when it came to short quarterbacks. You know, the NFL it hadn't really quite been a thing yet. But now, you know, you look back on that, you know, 7 years ago, and it's like, I think the football world has changed tremendously to accept and embrace those guys. And you have your Kyler Murrays and your Russell Wilsons to thank for that. But maybe hindsight should have said, Hey, he was going to be a great player. I honestly had no idea. Let me touch on, one more player that I definitely had a feeling about, and it was easy cause he was a 5-star, whatever, but Miles Sanders, I remember seeing him at Big 33 practice. He and Damar Hamlin both came in from Pittsburgh. I ended up talking to them after practice. Cam Brown was in that game. Dalen Darian was in that game. They were practicing on opposite fields, Pennsylvania versus the Maryland team. But there was one play I saw there where it was a pass play, and Miles Sanders, his body control and athleticism showed so much in that play. It was in the end zone. It was a pass into the end zone where he kind of got both feet in bounds and kind of had to turn and track the ball. Like it looked like a wide receiver. And that was one of those aha moments for me where I'm like, I got a good feeling. And again, like I'm not, you know, claiming anything genius here because he was a 5-star player, was the number one running back in the country. There were some doubts at set points along the way whether he would or wouldn't be what he was built up to be. But that was a moment. That was a real moment for me where I saw like, oh, that's why he's a 5-star. And I don't think I'll forget that. It happened so close to me, and I was so impressed by it.
Was that in a practice or in the game itself?
Practice. It was in a practice.
Okay. Did he also make a similar catch like that in the game?
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah.
Because he was on my list because I watched the Big 33 game, and I thought you were describing the catch from the game because that was the play that impressed me and put Miles Sanders on my list also. Dustin, that's a good one to end on because we agreed on something. Fantastic. And that's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat. Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.